And now, the Sandhills' number one morning show, Mornings with the Leader Man, here on Talk 97.3 FM, 104.1 FM, and 990 AM WEEB, and heard and seen around the world at talk973.com.
The best part of waking up is waking up with us.
Welcome to January 30th.
Welcome back. Today is a very special day.
And I think I smell croissants.
It is National Croissant Day.
Huh, croissant.
Croissant?
Croissant.
Would you like a croissant?
We are celebrating National Croissant Day this morning. Croissant?
Ooh, croissants.
It's croissant.
Croissants, I love croissants.
Oh, yeah.
It's showtime.
Good morning, Talk 97.3 FM, 104.1 FM, and 990 AM WEEB. Welcome back to the most listened to program in all of the Sandhills. It's time once again for Mornings with the Leader Man. I am Steve Leader Adams, along with David Hensley this morning. Good morning, David. Wait a minute. There you go.
There you go. Good morning, Steve, and good morning, Michelle Branch, wherever you are.
And also with me this morning, we have the main guy, Stephen Woodward. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, David. Get a promotion. Good morning, David. Good morning, everybody. On this Thumping Thursday in the Sandhills, we awaken to very sad news out of the nation's capital this morning.
Don't forget, of course, we're being heard and seen around the world on a live audio stream. That comes to you by our website. Just go to talk973.com and click on the icon that says Listen Live, and that'll take you to another page, and then click on Listen Live again, and you should have it. Weather for us today here in the Sand Hills area. Going to be a nice one. Look for things to be partly cloudy, high near 60. Winds will be from the northeast at 7 miles an hour. High temperature predicted to be near a cool 60. Winds will be from the east northeast at 7. Right now around the Sand Hills, we got winds at calm stage. Barometer 2023, 2.27, humidity at 53, and we have clear skies and 43 degrees here at Talk 97.3 FM, 104.1 FM, and 990 AM WEEB. Right, 7:35 past the hour on this Thursday morning. Thumping Thursday.
Thumping Thursday.
Yeah, that's enough of her.
Oh, you know, I said good morning to Michelle Branch, but I miss saying good morning to Carlos Santana, who plays guitar on that song. Yeah. So good morning, Carlos, wherever you are.
Well, yes, good morning, Carlos.
All right, well, let's dive in. We have, of course, last night's tragedy of what happened on the Potomac, and I have one little sound bite on it. American Airlines flight from Wichita, Kansas, collided with an Army Black Hawk helicopter and plunged into the Potomac. The crash happened near a Ronald Reagan National Airport in Arlington. The jet had 60 passengers on board and a crew of four. Three soldiers were also on board the helicopter. Here are comments from a press conference held this morning at 1 a.m. Eastern Time. First, D.C. Fire and EMS Chief John Donnelly, then Kansas Senator Roger Marshall. Here we go.
This evening at 8:48, an alert was sounded, initiating a large regional response to a report of an aircraft crash on approach to the airport. At 8:58, the first units arrived on the scene and found an aircraft in the water and began rescue operations. This incident has grown. There's currently about 300 responders working. So it's a highly complex operation. The conditions out there are extremely rough.
You know, when one person dies, it's a tragedy, but when many, many, many people die, it's an unbearable sorrow. It's a heartbreak beyond measure. It's really hard when you lose probably over 60 Kansans simultaneously, and I don't want to forget the pilots and the flight attendants and the military personnel we lost. You know, all those lives are so valuable, and it is such a tragedy that we lost them. Certainly we're crushed in spirit tonight. We mourn with the families who lost loved ones, and thank you for your thoughts and your prayers.
Yeah, well, we will extend ours for sure.
A couple of things. First of all, it was an American Airlines American Eagle regional jet, a CRJ-700 made by Bombardier Aerospace. It holds a maximum of 70 passengers, so it wasn't entirely full. Every approach into Reagan National Airport is essentially over water. Yep. From any direction. And I've flown into that airport probably over 100 times in my lifetime. It is an airport with little margin for error.
Yep.
It has shorter runways than most commercial airports have. Mm-hmm.
It was 7,900 feet.
And because it's near the nation's capital, there is also always a lot of military aircraft, yeah, fixed wing as well as helicopters. And that's apparently last night somebody made a big mistake.
So, like you, Steve, I have flown in and out of that airport probably over 100 times. And, you know, if you come from the north, it's incredibly scenic as you fly down the Potomac. And, you know, this flight was coming, approaching from the south. You know, it depends on the winds. I will say that, you know, also anyone that spent time in Northern Virginia, as you said, there's always a tremendous amount of military helicopter traffic, you know, and generally they're shuttling around VIPs, whether it's the president and vice president or the secretary of defense or whatnot. And, you know, you would see them flying, you know, IFR, I fly roadways, you know, flying up and down I-95, 395. And in hindsight, you know, those helicopters, I never thought about it, but they fly, you know, they fly up 395 and they cross right across, you know, say they're going up to the, well, say they're going to the White House or going up to Andrews. They fly right across the flight path, both the approach and takeoff of Reagan Airport. And just based upon what I saw last night, and in hindsight, I guess I should have realized this, they're cutting across the takeoff and landing path. You know, they're timing the helos, time when they go across, and they literally cut across the aircraft as they're taking off and landing. And I think the results of this investigation was, that's incredibly stupid. You know, I mean, it's a horrible tragedy, but, you know, how were they ever in a situation where rotary wing aircraft were, you know, timing their cutting across aircraft taking off and landing in one of the most overcrowded, very busy airport?
Well, we're picking up already on social media and some other posts of the air traffic control. And at one point, air traffic control is instructing this Black Hawk helicopter to get on the ground. We need you on the ground.
asking if it can go to Dulles Airport or go to BWI. I don't know what was going on with that. But there was clearly some concern about its proximity to Reagan at that point in time, Reagan National Airport. The inbound aircraft, the American Eagle, operated by PSA Airlines, was on final approach. It was a half a mile from the end of the runway. That's like, we're talking about, I don't know, 20 seconds from touchdown? I mean, it was had clearly been given clearance. It also must not have been even alerted to the proximity of another aircraft, although that is often the case. They will alert the cockpit that there is, you know, at 2 o'clock there is a another aircraft, and then the cockpit would normally affirm that it has seen the other aircraft, so that everybody knows, you know, approximately where they are. And that apparently did not happen last night.
Yeah, look, the investigation will show, you know, what, you know, clearly there were errors made. But I think the fundamental issue is going to come down to, you know, the situation should have never been set up where rotary wing aircraft routinely cut across the flight path of departing and taking off aircraft, or departing and arriving aircraft.
Yes, a lot to unpack here from this.
There's an educational. We need to unpack this
from this from this incident that took place in the blink of the eye. If you see the security cam, I mean, there's that momentary flash.
Yeah, horrible.
And I'm afraid that moment tells us that there will not be survivors, because there was an explosion. So forget about how cold the water is.
Yeah.
You know, that was an incendiary. What's the word I'm looking for? There was an incineration of that aircraft very quickly on contact, I
catastrophic
think.
Catastrophic failure is what NASA would say.
Yeah.
No, they would say, we've developed the problem. That's what they did with Apollo 13.
NASA, we have a problem.
They were also alluding to the, which is relevant, has no relevance to what happened last night, but of course, you know, these talking heads have to have something to talk about on live television. So they were recalling the January 1982 crash of a Boeing 737 departing out of National Airport, improperly de-iced, crashed into the, 14th Street Bridge.
Yes.
There were fatalities both on the plane and on the ground. Miraculously, there were survivors of that aircraft. There were people pulled out of the Potomac. That was also an evening crash, and that was, 43 years ago. But it has there's no similarities here at all. This is a totally different incident, but it is a memorable one. There was also in the 90s, there was a U.S. Air flight taking off from National that failed to become airborne and ended up at the end of the runway in the Potomac as well.
You're like an encyclopedia of the Encyclopedia Britannica of air mishaps in Reagan Airport.
Well, I've always been an aviation enthusiast, and I follow all of it very closely. So,
Well, it's a real shame they were 400 feet from there.
Oh, it's a horrible tragedy.
Safety.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, you got the passengers of the civilian aircraft, and obviously the three military air crews. Horrible, horrible tragedy.
I mean, at that point, people are already texting their friends and loved ones, you know, I'm about to arrive, you know, I'll see you.
Yeah.
I'll see you in 30 minutes, you know.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's kind of mix things up a tad so we don't get too down. Let's see, a 72-year-old bus driver in Wisconsin was arrested for multiple charges, including operating while intoxicated, after
Ooh.
Driving erratically and not letting kids off the bus. Here's audio of kids freaking out on the bus, some of the 911 radio calls, and two students talking about the whole experience.
Bus driver one apparently didn't stop at the last 8 stops, and a student screaming in the background.
We were screaming, "Stop the bus! Stop the bus! Stop the bus!" I was scared because he didn't stop at any of the first few stops, and I was scared that the other kids weren't gonna get to go home.
He was just like getting mad over little stuff.
Well, it sounds like they need some adjustments made by their school board up there in Wisconsin.
Yeah, yeah.
Now here, we have, we're talking about county commissioners or school board?
No, the Moore County GOP, you know, we have a the county convention is coming up. And
In March.
And the county GOP has not been in good hands. The leadership of the Moore County GOP, you know, just the party's been a decline for reasons that we're going to enumerate, the local party. And, you know, the Moore County GOP, we need leadership that's going to unify the party, that's going to provide vision, energy, and true leadership. And that just hasn't happened. I mean, the current chair who's overseeing the decline of our party is again running for chair against the advice of everybody. And, you know, we just need better leadership.
Right. And, you know, for those of us who have been involved in the party over the past roughly decade or so, we take no pleasure in this state of affairs right now, especially given the fact that there are numerous individuals who are more than willing to lead this party going forward. And especially at this moment in time, with the return of Donald Trump to the White House, the ascendancy of the MAGA movement,
right,
we must, at the grassroots level, not be spectators. We must be actively participating in that ascendancy at the grassroots level, because that is where ultimately we will be able to sustain all of the change that has come in the last 9 days very rapidly through all of the executive orders and all of the pruning of the status quo and the swamp creatures from Washington. And we have an opportunity to leverage that here. And so as we move into this season of transition at the local level, we have to be prepared, and we are prepared. And unfortunately, those of us who have labored to be prepared to identify the future and current soon-to-be leadership of the Moore County GOP have been ostracized as disruptors, as dividers, as being divisive forces, as being those who wish to, quote-unquote, take over the party, which could not be further from the truth.
Yeah, anybody, well, first let me say in response, you know, Moore County is blessed with a remarkable number of volunteers, great, great, great people, young people, you know, just people across the whole spectrum. And to your point, they've all been ostracized. Anybody who dared to suggest an idea that was outside of a very small box of thinking was immediately ostracized and accused of taking over the party. And look, if you want anecdotal evidence of the decline of the party, because you go, well, gosh, look at the elections. Well, okay, that's, you know, the elections last time didn't go so well, but evidence of the decline of the party, you know, I started getting involved in politics, you know, at the local level, maybe probably eight years ago now. And think about that. The Moore County GOP used to have events that would fill the fair barn. You know, we would have events that would routinely sell out. The Governor Holstetler, what's his name, series?
The James E. Holzhauser, yeah, Holzhauser speaker series, yes. Yeah.
That used to be held at the Bradshaw Performing Arts Center, and it would sell out, and they would have secretaries of whatever attending.
We had Ben Carson, we had Condoleezza Rice.
Right.
But that speaker series was actually not affiliated with the party.
But it was, you know, it's representative, yeah, of what's happened. And the last one, that has declined so much that the last one was held at the fellowship hall of a local church, and there was like 25 people. So in under 8 years of Beto and Damascus being in charge, we went from selling hundreds and hundreds, maybe 1,000 tickets to events at the Bradshaw Performing Arts Center to that same event, you know, 20, 25 people in the basement of a church. Look at our Lincoln-Reagan dinner or, you know, Trump 2020 dinners. You know, we would sell out the entire seat, the Moore County GOP would sell out the entire
Country Club in North Carolina, both wings. They had to open up the expansion.
Right.
That was 6-8 years ago. And now they struggle to, like, you know, fill up a Denny's.
Well, what was very interesting was, I believe it was just last year, actually, that Lincoln Reagan dinner, our guest speaker was Steve Bannon, the former Trump 45 strategist, now the overlord of the War Room streaming podcast program, which is number one among those podcasts. He was our speaker last year, and it was the thing that was really interesting about that is that Bannon comes in, you know, hell-bent on crushing the establishment and denouncing it and warning against it, and he's talking to a lot of the people in that room are defenders of it.
Well,
I wondered how that ever went down, because Bannon would be like the least likely person to speak to a more GOP event, and I'm certainly glad he was here, and it was an honor to have him here and to meet him and talk to him. I believe he has a family member who lives in Pinehurst, which was part of the attraction for him, but that was just last year.
Well, so let's talk about that. You mentioned the uniparty swamp, and really this is what this is all about. Just like President Trump is crushing the swamp and the uniparty establishment in D.C., in Moore County, we've been doing that. You know, we have done a great job. We the people have done a great job. You know, we look at our judiciary. We've replaced questionable judges with excellent judges. Our county commissioners, to a person, are wonderful. We got all the leftists and the swamp and crony establishment out of the school board. And, you know, look at all the crony stuff they were doing there.
Yeah.
You know, the last center of gravity for the uniparty swamp was the Sand Hills Community College Board of Trustees. And we got reformers on there. The job's not quite done there, but, you know, we're making inroads.
Help is on the way.
Yeah. So really the last bitter clingers, the last remnants of the uniparty establishment is like Tom Beddoe. You know, I mean, Bill DeMasi has enough intelligence not to run again because he realizes the damage that he himself did. Most of the other crony establishment members of the executive committee are not running again. But there's Tom Beddoe, the last vestige, him and Larry Cadell, the last vestige of the uniparty establishment, bitterly clinging to be relevant. And we just need to flush Tom. We need to replace him with a great slate of visionary candidates that are going to bring unity back to the party, and we're going to make Moore County GOP great again.
I think you're onto something there, David. And we also have, you know, in this county, very generous people.
Right.
And we need to make sure that we don't discourage the ability of our party to raise funds to elect Republicans, which is the principal purpose of it. And, you know, I think that if you look at the last election cycle here in North Carolina, we see what happens when the establishment has too much control. And we were told from day one that there would be no challenging the idea that Mark Robinson was the presumptive nominee for governor of North Carolina on the Republican ticket. And you see what that got us.
Well, you don't, yes, Mark Robinson in that election was a clear illustration of what happens when the uniparty establishment chooses the candidates, not the people. But you saw the same thing here in Moore County, where, you know, the sham endorsement process, the breaking of the bylaws, and Beto and DeMasi's bent over backwards to make sure that their four candidates were anointed through really, again, a sham selection process. And they went down in flames. You know, Beto and the boys anointed four candidates for the school board, and all four of them lost. They went 0-4.
Yeah.
And the ironic thing is three Republicans were elected to the school board. They just weren't the anointed Republicans.
And because of the deliberate attempt to discredit and smear your reputation, which was deliberately done by the party.
Right. The leadership of the party intentionally did that.
A very divided school board. That led to a school board that was stymied in its ability to move forward with what were excellent objectives initially when it was seated in 22. You know, I'll never forget that December evening when we all got together in that school up north, the elementary school, and we ate Chick-fil-A and moon pies and RC Cola Bojangles, and I've never seen a more unified group of people, and that quickly deteriorated.
Yeah, well, that's because the one thing the uniparty establishment cannot tolerate, whether it's Falwell or me or, you know, Todd Maness. They went after Todd Maness, too. They cannot tolerate a principled conservative who's an effective reformer. That's the biggest threat to... let's shift gears a little bit. The decline of the party, you know, look, these people, Beto and the boys, have ostracized so many people and balkanized the party that's descended into tribalism with the right leadership. And that's reflected in many ways. There's no volunteers to do anything. There's no one's contributing money. No one's attending stuff. With the right leadership, everyone's going to come flocking back, and the contributions to the party are going to come are going to return. The time and energy and ideas that people devoted to activities, all those people are going to come flocking back, because over the last week or so, I've talked to all those people, and we're going to talk a lot about this in the next hour. But the bottom line is, look, even the elected officials don't like Mr. Beto. Mr. Beto is chair of the Moore County GOP. He's never been, not a single elected official has ever nominated him to a board such as the Board of Trustees. And he put his name in the hat for the school board to nominate him to Sand Hills Community College. There were seven Republicans on the school board, and not one school board member voted for him. Bob Levy didn't vote for him. I didn't vote for him. Ken Benway, not a single Republican on the school, 0-7. Then, refusing to accept his defeat, a month later, he applied for the county commissioners to appoint him to the school board.
The Board of Trustees.
I'm sorry, yeah. to the Board of Trustees of Sand Hills. Not a single county commissioner. Five Republicans on the county commissioner. He didn't get a vote of a single. Nick Paserno didn't vote for him. Kirk Cook didn't vote for him. Jim Von.
We got to take a pause. It's coming up on 8 o'clock, and we'll be back on the flip side of news.
Tonight's forecast, mostly clear. Low temperatures dip back into the low to mid-30s overnight. Thursday, it's partly cloudy, not quite as warm, but nice overall, with highs in the upper 50s to lower 60s. Friday, rain is likely during the afternoon and evening, but it's not a washout. It'll be mostly cloudy and quite windy during the day. Highs climb into the upper 60s to even lower 70s. I'm meteorologist Kat Campbell in the Weather Center.
Broadcasting from the top of the North Carolina Sand Hill, 97.3 FM, 104.1 FM, and 990 AM, WEEB, Southern Pines, Pinehurst, Aberdeen.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. Arch Thomason.
Did you see that? 472. American 3130, go around turn left in 250 Clementine 3000.
From liveatc.net, air traffic controllers witnessing last night's mid-air collision at Reagan National Airport near Washington, D.C.
Rescue crews have been searching for survivors in the Potomac River after a passenger jet collided with an Army helicopter Wednesday night at Reagan National Airport. Authorities haven't said how many people died, but D.C. Fire and EMS Chief John Donnelly says the crews searching for survivors are facing challenging conditions.
The conditions out there are extremely rough for the responders. It's cold. They're dealing with relatively windy conditions. Wind is hard.
The Federal Aviation Administration says the mid-air crash occurred when a regional jet collided with a military helicopter. Mike Hemp in Washington.
64 people on the American Airlines plane inbound from Wichita, Kansas. Three soldiers on the helicopter on a training mission. This update just moments ago, the D.C. Fire and EMS chief saying that so far, the bodies of 27 passengers from the plane have been recovered and one from the helicopter. The chief adds authorities fear there were no survivors. Reagan National is closed until 11 Eastern time this morning. President Trump's national intel nominee, Tulsi Gabbard, goes before a Senate panel today for her confirmation hearing. Meanwhile, the Senate has confirmed Trump nominee Lee Zeldin.
As head of the Environmental Protection Agency, Zeldin will help to shape rules that align with President Trump's view of the environment and climate issues.
And that report from correspondent Bob Agnew. In the Middle East, Hamas has now released eight more of the hostages it had been holding. Watching Wall Street this morning, the Dow futures are down 41 points. NASDAQ futures 105 points higher. More on these stories at townhall.com.
A new president is sworn in. America's greatness is being restored. And there's breaking news every minute. Now, tens of millions of Americans are turning off Fox and CNN and tuning in to Newsmax for the breaking information they really need to know. Reuters Institute says Newsmax is one of the top news brands in America. Find it yourself on all major cable systems and on your TV or smartphone store. Just download the Newsmax app for free and start watching. You'll get great shows with Rob Schmidt, Greta Van Susteren, Rob Finnerty and Carl Higbee, and more. Find out why millions of Americans have made the switch. Even President Trump says Newsmax is terrific, and he's watching. So make the switch to Newsmax. Check us out on cable and satellite TV or download the Newsmax app today. Watch us anytime, anywhere. Remember, Newsmax is real news for real people.
Three West African nations ruled by military juntas are bailing on the region's political and economic union.
Niger, Mali, and Burkina Faso have formally withdrawn from the regional bloc known as ECOWAS. It was the culmination of a year-long process during which the grouping tried to avert its unprecedented disintegration. ECOWAS said it would keep doors open to the trio and requested that member nations continue to accord them privileges of membership, including free movement within the region with an ECOWAS passport. I'm Karen Chamas.
Philippine President Marcos offering to remove a U.S. missile system from the Philippines if China halts what he calls its aggressive and coercive behavior in the disputed South China Sea. The U.S. Army installed the Typhon mid-range missile system in the northern Philippines in April of last year to support what the longtime treaty allies described as training for joint combat readiness. Breaking news and analysis. Townhall.com. Speaker Mike Johnson, in a Tuesday interview, floated the possibility of working with Democrats to raise a debt ceiling instead of including it in the GOP's reconciliation package, which Republicans hope to pass in a party-line vote.
Johnson said when asked if he had decided how to handle the thorny issue, quote, no final decision yet, but part of the decision matrix is that we're looking at the pros and cons of those various angles. Johnson shifted from his initial plan of including the debt hike in the GOP's reconciliation package because Senate Republicans didn't think it would be possible to raise the debt ceiling on a GOP-only vote. President Trump has expressed opposition to giving Democrats an opportunity to leverage wins by relying on their votes in negotiations over the borrowing limit. Bernie Bennett reporting.
Former Democratic U.S. Senator Bob Menendez sentenced to 11 years in prison on his conviction for accepting bribes of gold and cash and acting as an agent of the Egyptian government. More on these stories, townhall.com.
The greatest comeback of all time is underway. Remember to shop local businesses. A reminder from Talk 97.3 FM, 104.1 FM, and 990 AM. WEEB.
Hi, this is Rodney Swarms of the Plumbing Night. We know that plumbing emergencies can happen at any time. In fact, they seem to happen at the most inconvenient times. And then inviting an unknown plumber into your home, that can add to the stress of the situation. The Plumbing Night wants to alleviate any stress about inviting a technician into your home by guaranteeing that we have not only the very best plumbers, but also the most knowledgeable plumbers. Before any of our employees are hired, all of the employees must undergo drug testing and a thorough background check. If they don't pass, they aren't hired. no exceptions. Once they're hired and part of the team, they receive continuous technical and customer training to ensure that they are the very best at the trade. This training is week after week, month after month, year after year. This training is what got us into community college to teach the plumbing trade. So the next time you have an emergency, call the Plumbing Night. They're known for extraordinary service and integrity.
Call the Plumbing Night at 639-5555, day or night, or on the web at theplumbingnight.com.
Wilkinson Chevrolet Buick GMC in Sanford has been selling and servicing Buicks in Moore, Lee, Chatham, and Harnett counties for over 70 years. Right now, finance any Buick model for as low as 0.9%, plus get up to 20% off. You heard that right. Get 20% off and rates as low as 0.9% on all new Buick models. With just a short drive from the Sandhills, hurry to Wilkinson Chevrolet Buick GMC because this offer ends February 3rd or while supplies last. To schedule your test drive, call 919-775-3421 or visit wilkinsoncars.com. We are professional grade.
Price plus tax tag and $4.99 admin fee. Not available with lease and some other offers. Must show proof of current ownership of a 2011 or newer non-GM vehicle. Valid on in-stock units only. Must finance with GM Financial. Not all will qualify. Dealer installed accessories extra. See dealer for complete details.
An alternative to public schools, Lee Christian School takes great pride in teaching quality academics while instilling biblical principles in students' lives. With a new STEM lab, a 16-to-1 student-teacher ratio, and a 95% college acceptance rate, Lee Christian School is committed to your child's future. Lee Christian is proud to offer amazing athletics like football and esports. For more information, visit leechristian.org or call 919-708-5115.
When you think of quality roofing, think of Creed & Garner Roofing. Family-owned and operated, their reputation of trust, getting the job done right to standards that make them a platinum preferred contractor for Owens Corning has them in business for over 40 years in Moore County. Creed & Garner Roofing is fully insured, specializing in shingles, custom copperwork, metal, and TPO. Find them on Facebook or email creedgarnerroofing@hotmail.com or call 910-944-0520. When it's time for a new roof or roof repair on your home, business, or farm, contact the experts at Creed & Garner Roofing.
Do you have control of your financial future? At Osaic Wealth, we're here to help you achieve your financial goals, whether it's planning for retirement, investing wisely, or simply growing your assets. We'll be with you every step of the way, providing expert guidance and support to ensure your financial success. Call Osaic Wealth today for your complimentary financial physical at 920-739-7757. I'm Kevin Gustafson, and I want to be your financial advisor.
Caraloha, buy more, save more. Going on now. Hi, this is Catherine Phelps, owner of Appliances and More, where creating relationships is our business. Caraloha carries sustainable bamboo fabrics consisting of sheets, towels, blankets, pillows, mattresses, and men and women sleepwear. The buy more, save more going on now. Come feel the difference at your local veteran-owned Appliances and More, featuring Caraloha in the Town and Country Shopping Center, Aberdeen.
NCN News. I'm Mike Riley. A Black Hawk helicopter collided with a regional American Airlines passenger plane, causing both aircraft to plummet into the Potomac River in Washington, D.C. At least 30 bodies have been found. Air traffic control.
Is the airfield closed?
Yes, the airfield is closed. The airfield is closed.
Runways as well?
Yes, all runways are closed. Nobody's landing. No one's moving at all.
Aviation expert Jay Ratliff tells NCN News the crash will have a big impact on the eastern seaboard.
Been some slowdown, obviously, because of all of the search and rescue or what's going to be recovery flight activity around Washington Airport. So you're going to see a reduction of available airspace there.
President Donald Trump has rescinded a proposed freeze on federal aid. Governor Josh Stein called the proposed spending freeze confusing and concerning.
If it were carried out to the full extent that people fear, there will be a lot of jobs lost, a lot of critical services that people depend on gone.
Members of the North Carolina congressional delegation introduced a bill that aimed at rebuilding private roads and bridges damaged by Helene. The Restoring Access to Mountain Homes Act would allow states and towns to pay for those repairs. 11th District Congressman Chuck Edwards tells WLOS.
There's a really fine line in FEMA being able to administer those funds on private property.
An out-of-control wildfire near Old Fort has prompted evacuation orders for nearby residents as a second fire is reported north of Marion. The Crooked Creek Fire, which authorities say started after a tree fell on a power line, began Wednesday. This man owns property there.
This house right here would not have been standing if it hadn't been for the Dyersville Fire Department and all these other groups.
Sports bettors in North Carolina could be facing an unexpected tax bill in April. Now a group of state lawmakers wants to change that with a House bill. You're listening to NCN News.
The North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services is looking for people age 21 or older to volunteer in long-term care facilities. Community Advisory Committee volunteers help residents and their families advocate for the needs of individuals living in long-term care facilities, such as nursing homes, assisted living facilities, and family care homes. Volunteers must complete orientation and training to become designated and certified representatives of the Long-Term Care Ombudsman Program. Visit ncdhhs.gov/aging to find your county's ombudsman.
AARP is working hard to make sure people in North Carolina are getting the most out of life. Whether it's helping you stay healthy, save more money, care for loved ones, or simply have some fun, AARP is making a difference in communities across the state. You have a wise friend and fierce defender with AARP. Learn more about progress being made for older adults in the state by listening to AARP Without Limits. You can find the latest episodes of AARP Without Limits wherever you listen to your podcasts.
The White House has confirmed that President Trump signed an executive order that calls for more action to rebuild or repair bridges on private properties and to rebuild I-40. Yancey County Volunteer Liaison Josh Heenley.
To President Trump, I would say we don't need to be handheld. What we need is a direct path to funding so that we can help take care of these people.
Former North Carolina 13th District Democratic Congressman Wiley Nichols reacting to the first week of the Trump administration. Nichols tells NCN News he has been surprised by some of the early moves.
The taxpayers deserve so much more than the chaos and confusion we're seeing. And it's certainly not bipartisan. This is far right extremism that we're seeing out of the Trump administration.
U.S. Attorney Michael F. Easley Jr. announced on Wednesday that he is stepping down after more than 3 years as the top federal law enforcement official in eastern North Carolina. Correspondent Michael George reports on the challenges women face at the gym.
Women face major challenges when they go to the gym. A survey published in the journal PLOS showed many women feel judged by their appearance and performance at the gym, and many experience harassment and unsolicited comments from men while working out. Researchers say more needs to be done to make gyms into comfortable and supportive places for women.
Some people with irritable bowel disease go on to develop cancer, a new test for doctors.
British researchers tested precancerous tissue cells from IBD patients with ulcerative colitis or Crohn's disease. Their algorithm proved more than 90% accurate in predicting which would develop bowel cancer over the next 5 years. The next step, developing a blood test to identify those people most at risk so they can catch the cancer early. Vicki Barker, CBS News.
Mike Rayleigh, NCN News.
Good evening. Tonight's forecast, mostly clear. Low temperatures dip into the low to mid-30s overnight. Thursday, not quite as warm, but still a nice day. High temperatures are in the upper 50s to lower 60s under partly cloudy skies. Heading into Friday, we do have our best chance for rain this week. It's not a washout, but during the afternoon and evening, some showers are likely. It's mostly cloudy and windy with highs nearing 70. I'm meteorologist Kat Campbell in the Weather Center.
Right now, here in the Sand Hills area, we have calm winds, pressure at 30.24, dew point 28, humidity at 53, and it's sunny and 44 degrees currently here at WEEB. It is 8:15. Time for sports, and it's happening right here on 94.3 FM, 104.1 FM, and 990 AM WEEB.
NCN Sports, I'm Tony Brixby. Keon Johnson led a balanced Brooklyn Nets attack with 18 points. The Nets snapping a seven-game losing streak with a 104-83 win over the Charlotte Hornets. Miles Bridges had 23 points, 13 rebounds for the Hornets, who played without four regular starters, including LaMelo Ball, Mark Williams, Brandon Miller, and Josh Green. Coach Charles Lee.
A pretty solid game. You know, you give up 104, but I feel like there was 5 to 10 possessions
ends that we easily could be better on in terms of back cuts and the guy on the ball not keeping the offensive players in front, and then our shift activity behind it.
In the ACC men's basketball wars last night, Virginia Tech never trailed in beating Florida State 76-66. Stanford used a 17-0 game-opening run to beat Syracuse 70-61. Chuck Harris scored 20 points. Matt Cross had 15, 14 rebounds. SMU beat California 76-65. Isaac McNeely scored 26 points. Tane Murray added a career-high 20 for Virginia in the Cavaliers' 82-71 win over Miami last night. Elsewhere in top 25 college basketball on Wednesday evening, number one Auburn beating LSU 87-74. Number four Alabama beat number 14 Mississippi State 88-84. Number six Houston, a winner over West Virginia 63-49. Big upset. Number 17 Wisconsin, beaten by unranked Maryland 76-68. Number 22 Texas Tech rolled past TCU 71-57. Number 23, Mississippi, with a 72-69 win over Texas. And number 25, Connecticut, beat DePaul 72-61. You're listening to NCN Sports.
AARP is working hard to make sure people in North Carolina are getting the most out of life. Whether it's helping you stay healthy, save more money, care for loved ones, or simply have some fun, AARP is making a difference in communities across the state. You have a wise friend and fierce defender with AARP. Learn more about progress being made for older adults in the state by listening to AARP Without Limits. You can find the latest episodes of AARP Without Limits wherever you listen to your podcasts.
I choose to stay up to date on my vaccines to protect what matters most, my community.
Don't let COVID-19 and the flu stop you.
So make sure you have protection against new virus strains that continue to spread this fall and winter.
Don't wait. Get up to date.
Because my health is our health.
Ask your healthcare provider about updated flu and COVID-19 shots.
Don't wait. Get your updated shots today.
Visit myspot.nc.gov and find yours today.
A coach for the defending college football championship team is away from the team amid an ongoing investigation. Yethan Coolbaugh explains.
Ohio State defensive quality control coach Joe Lieberger has been placed on paid administrative leave for the last month while the university investigates him. Ohio State's Human Resources Department sent Lieberger a letter on December 27th that noted he would be placed on leave immediately. The letter was obtained Wednesday by the AP through a public records request. The investigation is being conducted by the university's Office of Institutional Equity. The Columbus Dispatch first reported Lieberger's situation and noted that the Office of Institutional Equity deals with complaints of harassment, discrimination, and sexual misconduct, among other subjects. I'm Geffen Kuhlbach.
Tony Rixby, NCN Sports.
Sometimes you just want to say,
Titans, lay down!
Do you have somewhere to be?
I've traveled all across the fabric of space-time.
97.3 FM and 990 AM, WEEB. We've got you by the ears.
Happy New Year from all of us here at Keys Appliance Center in downtown Aberdeen. We'd like to thank all of our customers who have supported us for over 51 years and made 2024 another successful year. Thank you to our wonderful community for voting us Best Appliance Store in the Pilot's Best of the Pines 2024. Your business is greatly appreciated, and the friends we have made along the way mean the world to us. So we at Keys Appliance Center wish our Moore County community a happy, healthy, and successful 2025.
For 40 years, T.L. Stewart Builders has been building area homes with quality design, detail, and top-notch craftsmanship. Now, as an authorized Cummins home standby generator installer, they're taking that same approach to ensuring your power stays on, no matter what. For decades, Cummins' rugged reliability has been trusted to keep hospitals, fire stations, and police departments running. So don't let another power outage ruin your day. Call T.L. Stewart Builders at 919-774-8714 to schedule your free in-home assessment today.
Attention classic car enthusiasts. Is your vintage ride just collecting dust, begging for a second chance? At veteran-owned Innovation Performance Technologies, we bring your dream ride to life. Our award-winning expert team can restore every detail of your cruiser with precision and passion. If you're looking for a complete frame-off restoration, custom upgrades, or paint jobs, we can do those with ease. Turn that unfinished project into a classic beauty. Contact Innovation Performance Technologies at 910-678-4600 or online at innovationperformance.tech.
When trying to add the perfect window treatment becomes overwhelming, contact the professionals at Comfort Made Blinds. With quality brands like Graver and their expert advice, measuring, installation, and their warranties, all you need to do is sit back, relax, and enjoy your new window treatments. To get your Graver products and others, schedule your free measurement by calling Comfort Made Blinds at 910-692-5500 or visit the showroom at 195 Pinehurst Avenue next to Main Street Glass in Southern Pines. Mention this ad and take 10% off your next purchase.
With over 20 years of experience, visit Hardy's Equipment and see the complete line of LS tractors. Right now, get 0% financing for 72 months on select LS tractor models. That's 6 years interest-free financing. So come see the LS Tractor MT2E and MT2 at Hardy's Equipment. These improved versions of everyone's favorite 35-plus horsepower tractor has a lift capacity of 2,000 pounds or more. Plus, they have more standard features and operator comfort, like an air conditioning system and roof configuration that provides additional headspace for increased visibility. Hurry to Hardy's Equipment and don't miss 0% financing for 72 months on select LS tractors, because this offer ends January 31st. So mow it, grade it, till it, or move it. Join the LS Tractor family and do more today. See Hardy's Equipment for complete details at 4809 Vast Carthage Road or call 910-245-1644.
This is Bess Giles with Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, Pinehurst Realty Group, where we make great neighbors. I'm not just about finding your dream home. I'm about helping create lifelong memories. So call me, Bess Giles, your forever agent, at 910-639-5006. That's 910-639-5006 to make all your dreams come true.
I'm Dr. Sharon Wright with Pinecone Medical Center. I have been searching for pain relief with my patients for over 30 years. There is one conclusion I know for sure. There is no one solution for all patients suffering from pain. That's why at Pinecone Medical Center, we offer numerous kinds of pain relief, like chiropractic treatment, dry needling, pressure wave, low light laser, detox foot bath, ultra slim, weight loss, and more. Most insurance plans may cover the cost in varying degrees. So let's get together at no cost to you and customize a treatment plan that really works for you. Let this year be the year that you say goodbye to chronic pain. You do not have to suffer alone with pain. Call me at Pinecone Medical Center and set up a no-charge consultation today at 910-420-1911 or on the web at pinecomemedicalcenter.com.
Cooper Ford in Carthage wants to wish you a very happy new year. With the promise of a continued commitment to the community they serve, Cooper Ford invites you to start the year off right with a brand new car, truck, or SUV from the only locally owned Ford dealer in town, where pricing and inventory have never been better. It's the locally owned, award-winning Cooper Ford, just off 15501 in Carthage or on the web at cooperford.net. Cooper Ford, always working hard to be your hometown dealer.
New York Deli is a slice of the Big Apple in Pinehurst. Located in Olmsted Village, New York Deli offers authentic New York bagels and a full breakfast menu until 11 a.m. Looking for lunch? There are 33 signature sandwiches to choose from, and now offering Meatball Mondays. New York Deli is open weekdays from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Visit Moore County Takeout and Delivery Options Facebook page for our menu updates. Call 295-2264 for takeout, or have your order delivered via DoorDash, Grubhub, or Easy Bites.
And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free.
Pride Plumbing is proud to serve Moore County with superior workmanship and dependable plumbing service, including 24/7 emergency service. Like the name says, we take pride in our work and your safety. Our employees must pass background and drug tests and share Pride Plumbing's reputation for quality service. From simple leaky faucets to new water heaters and sewer lines, backflow testing and installation, drain cleaning, plumbing repairs, and, if necessary, replacement and remodeling. A family business with over 50 years of prideful service. Go online to callprideplumbing.com and check out our 5-star customer reviews. We offer a 10% discount to all veterans and active military. Call Pride Plumbing of Moore County at 910-295-0152. 910-295-0152. Serving with pride since 1965.
Thanks for help bringing the economy back. One local purchase at a time.
Kind of uplifts you and you feel better.
It's the greatest comeback of all time. With Talk 97.3 FM, 104.1 FM, and 990 AM, WEEB.
This is Steve Woodward, and I'm teeing off. Across a decade of Trump derangement, angry Democrats made character assassination commonplace. Donald Trump and surrogates faced baseless accusations, criminal charges, even jail time. But relentless targeting is not limited to the national stage. In North Carolina, former state treasurer Dale Falwell dedicated his career as a Republican public servant to exposing reckless spending and deceptive practices in and outside of government. During 8 years as treasurer, Falwell hammered at what he called the state's health care cartels and their lack of transparency. He reduced state debt by 60% and cut $650 million in management fees charged to a $115 billion pension. He traveled the state tirelessly. For overnight stays, it was always Econolodge. In his final months last year, Falwell was forced to defend use of state vehicles. An investigation opened amid claims of travel log lapses. This week, a Wake County district attorney filed no charges and closed the case. In fact, the man who never stopped protecting taxpayers was forced to reimburse more than $6,000 in travel fees. Democrats wanted Falwell to pay the price of a tainted reputation. They failed. I'm Steve Woodward, and I just teed off.
Tonight's forecast, mostly clear. Low temperatures dip back into the low to mid-30s overnight. Thursday, it's partly cloudy, not quite as warm, but nice overall, with highs in the upper 50s to lower 60s. Friday, rain is likely during the afternoon and evening, but it's not a washout. It'll be mostly cloudy and quite windy during the day. Highs climb into the upper 60s to even lower 70s. I'm meteorologist Kat Campbell in the Weather Center.
And now, the Sandhills number one morning show. Mornings with the Leader Man. Here on Talk 97.3 FM, 104.1 FM, and 990 AM WEEB. And heard and seen around the world at talk973.com.
The best part of waking up is waking up with us.
Welcome back. Today is a very special day.
And I think I smell croissants.
It is National Croissant Day.
Huh. Croissant.
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 Would you like a croissant?
We are celebrating National Croissant Day this morning.
Croissant. Ooh, croissants.
It's croissant.
Croissants. I love croissants.
Oh, yeah.
It's showtime.
Oh, listen to me, people. I ain't got time to think about money or what it can buy. And I ain't got time to sit down and wonder what makes a bird. Flower grow, and I never give it a second thought.
Good morning, Talk 97.3 FM, 104.1 FM, and 990 AM WEEB. Welcome back to the most listened to program in all of the Sand Hills. It's time once again for Mornings with the Leader Man. I am Steve Leader Adams, along with David Hensley this morning. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Steve. Good morning, everyone.
And Stephen Woodward. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Leader Man. Good morning, David. Good morning, everybody, on this throbbing Thursday right here in the Sand Hills.
Don't forget, of course, we're being heard around the world on a live audio stream. That's available to you also at the websites I've previously told you. Just go there and hit the icon that says on the air, listen live. Do that once and you're listening that quick. Weather for us today here in the Sand Hills area. It's going to be, come here with you, weather. For today, partly cloudy with a high temperature of 60. Tonight, mostly cloudy with showers and a low of 49. Then on Friday, going to be wet, mostly cloudy with showers and a high of 73. And then for Saturday, mostly sunny with a... Get back there. I'm not through with you yet. Come on. There. Where was I? Okay. Saturday, mostly cloudy, showers, 73. And I take it back. That's Friday night. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high of 62. Right now around the Sand Hills, winds are calm, pressure 3024, 2.28, humidity 46%. We have sunny skies and 47 degrees here at Talk 97.3 FM, 104.1 FM and 990 AM, WEEB. All right, 8:32. Well, this Thursday morning, glad you made us part of your day. Okay, we were talking about schools and elections. And
yeah, we were talking about the upcoming election for the leadership of the Moore County GOP and how it's very, very important to elect a leadership slate who will unify the party, who has vision, who has energy, and who has leadership. And unfortunately, the existing chair, Mr. Beto, who under his tutelage, the Moore County GOP has gone downhill as evidenced by decreased fundraising, decreased
volunteerism.
Decreased participation, the disastrous school board elections. And then, you know, we started enumerating why and some of the atrocious things that Mr. Beto and Mr. Damascus and that crew have done. And I started out by saying, look, the bottom, and there's some others that, you know, we'll get into this hour. There's Mr. Beto calling right now. His one supporter. I simply pointed out that Mr. Beto is not liked, nor is he respected by any elected official or very few elected officials in Moore County, as evidenced by the fact that he's the leader of the Moore County GOP, and not a single elected official has nominated him to the board. He tried to get on the Sand Hills Board of Trustees, and when the vote went in front of a conservative, all-Republican school board, didn't get a single vote. He went 0-7. Not me, not Robert Levy. Nobody voted. Not Ken Benway. No one voted for him. Then, in his hubris and arrogance, he turned around and put in for the county commissioner nominee, and not a single county commissioner. Five Republican nominees.
Right. Just to clarify, seeking to have that board of commissioners nominate him to the Sand Hills Board of Trustees.
Right. Just after getting 0-7 for the school board, he tried the same thing, and not a single Republican county commissioner voted for him. I mean, my God, he couldn't even get fellow swamper Frank Quist's vote. So that's one thing right there is evidence that he should not remain as chair.
Well, the other thing I would point out, David, is that what's unfortunate is that I have watched a number of our most devoted volunteers kind of shrink away from visibility and activity in the party for no reason other than they're just kind of sick and tired of being treated as if they are, you know, in servitude, as if they are subordinates as opposed to fellow volunteers. And that's just not that's not sustainable when you're talking about asking people to give of their time and their money and their skills. And we have a lot of skilled individuals in this county who have come here from all manner of walks of life, professionally and educationally, and we have a vast we're like a, when it comes to human resources, Moore County is like a an oil field. I mean, we have unlimited resources at our disposal if we choose to leverage them.
We are the Middle East of quality, talented volunteers. And Steve, you're absolutely correct. You know, as we mentioned in the first hour, Moore County is blessed with a remarkable number of talented conservatives and Republicans, but they've all been ostracized from the party. They've been publicly berated at events. You know, the volunteer coordinator was run off by the vice chair because she got tired of her and her volunteers constantly being berated and just treated poorly. You know, the vice chair, you know, is famous for drinking too much box wine at events and, you know, finger in chest yelling at precinct chairs.
Yeah.
You know, and just... all the volunteers have fled the party, and that's a shame. But with the right leadership who unifies the party, all those people are going to come flocking back. I know I will, and I've talked to many of the previous active volunteers, and yeah, they're all going to come flocking back, but not if Beto is the chair.
Right, and this is not theoretical, by the way. Last summer, organically, a group of Republicans in Moore County created what we described as a caucus. Mm-hmm. We gave it sort of a, you might say, obvious name, We the People Caucus. Mm-hmm. And we held a bit of a rally in July on a warm summer's late, early evening. And I believe some pork butt may have been smoked by a certain master smoker. And we attracted, if my memory serves me correctly, about 80 people.
Yes.
On a summer's evening over, yes, there by the community center.
Yep.
Off of Rattlesnake. And these were people who were clearly interested in a discussion of reform and in a discussion of looking forward to what our potential is as a party. Some of them may have shown up for the delicious smoked meat, but I don't think that was the primary draw. And we had a very, we moved indoors after enjoying our the delicious food, and we had a serious meeting with presentations, and we laid out the vision, and then we did that again in September, and many of the same people flocked back to share in that, in the discussion of what we needed to start talking about and doing, and the necessity of identifying our future leadership, whether it be officers of the party or precinct chairs or members of the executive committee who also vote and make decisions, the necessity of expanding our reach through the use of social media, through actively managed digital media such as website and websites and email campaigns. We talked about the necessity of identifying young Republicans and figuring out how we can begin to get them engaged, not merely just showing up anytime there's like free beer involved, but to actually be serious about how what role they can play. And we have seen just in the last couple of months, one of our really rock star young Republicans has emerged as now the president of the Republican Men's Club, Robert Bortons. Right. He has already instituted several changes there that have already, I believe, energized that club, which had deteriorated into old men eating meatloaf at noon. And
dry chicken.
And so that's a step in the right direction. And the we need to recruit more Robert Bortons, and they're out there. I know who they are. And some of them actually, you know, don't think I'm as old as I am, which is nice.
Well, so
nice
and,
of them.
And let's talk about the leadership of the Moore County GOP and their response to the We the People Caucus. And, you know, rather than embracing it and going, wow, these are good ideas, you know, having relevant and interesting events, you know, having a candidate recruiting, vetting, and training committees, you know, all those good things that a healthy and active party should do, rather than embracing that and capturing that energy, Bill DeMastis and Tom Beddoe, they just, oh, that's just Hensley trying to overtake the party. That's just blah, blah. No, it's not. That is David Hensley and a few other people wanting to break the uniparty's establishment over the party and wanting to put in leadership. And by the way, I'm not the leadership. I have zero aspirations. I just want to see leadership that's good for the party, that will grow the party and not alienate everyone.
Yeah. And by the way, not only have we had some very productive discussions, and not only have we succeeded in rallying people to some a couple of events last year, I would also remind everyone that when a group conspired to bring a speaker to the campus of the Sandhills Community College to run an all-day workshop on diversity, equity, and inclusion, which many of us found appalling, what did the We the People Caucus do? We hired our own counter speaker.
Right.
It was a beautiful thing to behold. Mm-hmm. We had Dr. Carol Swain come to town from Nashville, and the same evening as the DEI workshop, she presented a presentation, I guess you would call it remarks, and delivered a speech on why diversity is destined to fail and DEI is destined to die. And wouldn't you know it? Here we are in January of 2025, and the Trump administration announced yesterday that it was issuing an executive order that would require the elimination of indoctrination in our K-12 schools, which is basically the elimination of all things DEI. So our caucus has already demonstrated that not only do we have the will, we can rally the resources, because we did have to pay for the speaker.
Right.
And we have done that. And we brought in a nationally prominent speaker. We pulled that off in just a matter of weeks. And it was very well attended at the Sandhills Classical Christian School in their beautiful gymnasium. We had a nice audience that evening of about 125 people. It was a great evening.
The attendance of that event, you know, harkens back to the heyday of Moore County GOP, you know, 8 years or so ago, when, as we said in the first hour, where we would fill the fair barn. Now they can't get 20 people to attend an event. It also shows that the We the People Caucus was foremost and on the leading edge of addressing societal issues that, you know, as you said, you know, 8 months later, President Donald Trump just stomped it all out with an executive order. So
yeah,
we need visionary leadership who's going to harness the power of and potential of all the great supporters and allies that we have in Moore County, not drive them away and, like, you know, cheap wine-fueled rages.
Right. So let's talk about what's going to happen next, okay? You're listening to us talking about this right now, and you're saying to yourself, I'd like to express my support for new leadership and a turning of the page and a fresh start. What can I do? Well, here's what you can do. Everybody within the sound of my voice lives in a designated precinct. There are 26 of them. You can find out what your precinct is by going to the NC Board of Elections website and looking yourself up, assuming that you're a registered voter, and your voter registration profile will tell you what precinct you live in. Then, in February, there will be precinct meetings held on Saturday the 15th and Saturday the 22nd, basically evenly dividing between 13 precinct meetings on the 15th and 13 precinct meetings on the 22nd. At those meetings, you can A, come to voice your support for candidates for leadership who by then will be identified. You can also sign up to be a delegate to the county convention, which will take place 1 month thereafter on March 22nd. And it will be at that convention. So save the date, March 22nd, Saturday. At that convention, you will be in a position as a delegate to vote for new leadership. That's where it will all go down, as they say. So we've given you a runway here. You've got it in front of you. You have the time to save these dates in February and March. All you have to do is show up. You don't have to give a speech. You don't have to write a check. You don't even have to tuck your shirt in. All you have to do is be there and show your support by casting a vote. That's all it takes. That's the ultimate display of patriotism and democracy in action.
And it's that simple. And let me talk about this a bit. So you mentioned that, you know, Steve, you talked about the process, and you mentioned that, you know, there'll be a slate of candidates. But more importantly, first of all, it's going to be a slate of candidates that everyone across the entire spectrum will respect. And it's going to be a slate of candidates who's going to unify the party because they're going to be respected across the entire spectrum of the party. But most importantly, they're going to have a platform and they're going to have ideas and they're going to articulate, here's what we're going to do. Here's the activities we're going to do. Here's this, that, the next thing. Tom Beddoe and his cronies don't have that. And if you walk up to Tom Beddoe right now, and by the way, there's a think tank at the GOP headquarters at 8:11 o'clock, and you know, the chair will be there, and stand up and ask him, what are you going to do in the next 2 years, and why should I vote for you? You're going to get a stunned mullet look because he has no platform. He's articulating no vision. In his mind, it's just more of the same because there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with, you know, going after conservative elected officials. There's nothing wrong with, you know, volunteers leaving en masse. There's nothing wrong with the financial decline of the party. He doesn't have a platform. But here's what he's going to do, because we're saying this right now. He's going to scramble to come up with a platform. He's going to mostly copy our platform, because the We the People and, you know, the slate of people who are going to be running, it's going to be a great platform to make Moore County GOP great again. He's going to copy most of that, act like it's his. So then the next question is, well, Mr. Beddoe, you've been chair for 6 years. If that's your platform, why didn't you do it the last 6 years? So it'll, whatever he coughs up like a cat hacking up a fur ball, it's going to copy our platform or the platform of the people running, and it's going to be 100% disingenuous because, you know what, you had 6 years and you did none of that.
It sort of harkens back to when Kamala Harris was running for president, talking about all the things that that she was going to do that she never participated in while she was working for Joe Biden.
Yes. So, yes. So,
by the way, I've met your cats. I'm sure they've never done something as crass as coughing up a fur ball.
They have great fur balls. They have perfect fur balls.
Exactly.
They have wondrous, beautiful,
big, glorious, beautiful fur balls.
Yeah. But to your point, you know, look, that's a good point. You know, Beto's going to do what Kamala Harris did. She's going to every time Trump came up with an idea, she was all of a sudden for it. And you know, she, even though she didn't do any of that in the previous 6 years. So, you know, I always thought that Tom Beto was kind of the Mitch McConnell of Moore County, you know, overseer, overwatch for the cronyism. In fact, I think Mr. Beto spent a good part of his life as a lobbyist for a major multinational corporation who, by the way, got sued for damaging the hearing of most of our vets. I think Mr. Beto was a lobbyist in D.C. for that company. So I used to think of him as kind of the Mitch McConnell of Moore County. But now the picture's coming more clear because he's going to kind of morph into a Kamala Harris. So he's going to be kind of the Mitch Kamala, the Mitchalla of Moore County.
Well, a couple of things that I remember from years gone by is that many of us were concerned when after Catherine Truitt, who ran as a Republican, was elected as the superintendent of the Department of Public Instruction in the state, when she began to indicate a certain a lack of backbone and some of her actions as DPI superintendent were not what we would say were, you know, conservative in their tone and objective. Many of us in Moore County who called her out were criticized for being divisive. And then, of course, a number of years ago, you may recall the Moore County Republican Women's Club decided they had had about enough with somewhat newly elected Senator Tom Tillis, our U.S. Senator. They rallied around a candidate who sought to primary him. You may remember, I believe his name was Garland. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, those ladies took a lot of heat for daring to challenge a swampy U.S. Senator in Tom Tillis. In fact, Tillis came to Moore County, and a meeting was arranged, a very small private meeting, including some of the members of this women's club. And it was the only time I've ever seen Tillis in Moore County was that one time. He's trying to save his bacon. He ultimately, of course, swatted away this primary challenger because the guy couldn't raise any money, but which is always the case. But I think another primary challenge is in Mr. Tillis's future next year, dare I say.
Well, so...
Oh, how very divisive of me.
Yeah. Well, look... The part of the problem with the current leadership of the Moore County GOP, I mean, they honestly believe that it's their job to tell Republicans who to vote for. And that became obvious. I mean, they came out and said it during the school board primary, during that sham endorsement process, where Mr. Beto and Mr. Damascus literally broke every single bylaw to make sure that their slate of empty shirts, empty suits got you know, endorsed.
I think there was an empty skirt or two as well.
Yes, it was an empty suit and skirt. I stand corrected. but Mr. Damascus, Mr. Schultes, both officers, and Bob Levy, all of them stood up. Because I said, look, it's the job of the party in the primary to set up candidate debates, set up candidate forums, set up meet and greets so that the voters, the Republicans, our party can listen to the thoughts and ideas, listen to people debate, and voters make up their own mind. Under Beto's leadership, the entire slate of the executive committee, they stood up and said, no, it's our job to tell voters how to vote. It's our job, exact quote, DeMasis, Schultes, and Levy all said this. No, it's our job to tell people who to vote for in the primary. And that's the attitude that's driven away anybody that has a slightly different opinion, whether it is, hey, I think maybe we ought to look at this candidate or consider this candidate, or hey, I think we ought to do this activity. Just any outside thought is immediately shouted down, accused of trying to take over the party and ostracized. And they've ostracized so many people that, like, literally Mr. Beto and that crew live in a little echo chamber in the think tank that's attended by the same 12 to 14 people. And if anybody, a new person or a current, known person in the GOP goes into that think tank and tries to deliver something outside of their groupthink, they're immediately attacked. I mean, J.D. Zumwalt tried to physically attack me in there one day. I mean, they have gone as far. You know, some poor guy after the election walks into the think tank, good, obviously conservative, says, hey, I'm concerned about how this election went out, turned out, talking about the Robinson race. And, you know, I think we ought to look at doing some things like recruiting, vetting candidates. And he went there just in good faith, not knowing that they would just, they just attacked that poor guy and drove him out, never to return.
Yeah, and in fact, in the meeting you were referencing involving your showdown with our former colleague, I had invited a couple from Atlanta who had just moved to the area, Republicans who were interested in getting involved. They came to that think tank. That was their first think tank. And they were so appalled by that whole shouting match that they've never been back. I mean, there's nothing I can say to them that will bring them back now. So this is a couple that would have been involved. They would have been writing checks to the party.
Yep.
And now we've lost them. And it's terrible. But, you know, you were talking about the school board primaries. It wasn't just that there was this desire to sort of tell people who to vote for. The whole thing was driven by a sort of derangement syndrome directed toward you.
Oh, that was 100% retaliation. So, again, I've always said, look, the uniparty establishment, the crony establishment cannot tolerate a principled conservative who's an effective reformer, whether that's Del Falwell, whether it's me, and they'll do whatever to destroy me. And that was twofold. It was because we got reformers on the Sandhills board, and it was Beto, personal retaliation, because he blamed the fact that he got zero votes out of 12 Republicans in his bid to get on the board. He got zero votes from 12 Republicans, and he blamed that on me when I just cast one vote, and I didn't lobby for anybody. You know, I don't do that. I engage in public discussion.
And who was reelected to the board, David, in November, the school board? Who was that?
Me.
Right.
Yeah, all four of the people they endorsed lost. But anyway, so in the coming weeks, you're going to see an accomplished slate of candidates who appeal to everyone and who unite the party, step forward and run. So we the people need to take back our party.
You're right, and we will.
All right. So it goes for this Thursday. Have yourself a great, safe day. We'll see you back bright and early tomorrow for TSIF. Thanks, Steve. It's Friday. Until then, be sure to support the mom-and-pop businesses you hear on our airwaves, because they're the backbone of our economy here. When you give them first crack at your spending dollars, your money stays here, rolls over, and creates more jobs. And that's good for the economy here. All right. That's it. Let's see. Anything else? I don't think so. That'll free up me, Colt, Nick the Dogs. We'll see you this afternoon at the dog park.
When I come back, you'd better be laughing.
So, what have we learned? Heck, I don't know. But this is one crazy show. Bye now.
Cut, cut. That's it. Go home, everybody. None of this ever happened.
Well, y'all come back now, you hear?
I think we're through here.
Yeah, man. Thank you very much, man. That's pretty much all I got, man.
Okay, class dismissed. Rock on!
Well, let me tell you something. Everything comes to an end.
Broadcasting from the top of the North Carolina Sand Hills, 97.3 FM, 104.1 FM, and 990 AM, WEEB, Southern Pines, Pinehurst.